Welcome back to another episode of the Boston Sports Syndicate podcast. Michael Travers bringing it to you, and alongside me, as always, I have Bill Travers. Bill, what's going on?
Not too much. How are you doing?
Not bad. A little sad we don't have a third voice today. I was thinking of maybe doing a throwback and bringing in James, but I thought of it too late. So, you know, he'll probably hear this and get all excited once he listens to it. But the thought was there. It was like it's 5 o'clock on Saturday. I thought about it. I thought of it at like 4 o'clock. So I was like, probably a little too late to ask. But no less, just the two of us will be able to handle it, I think.
So would it be safe to say you were a little short-sighted on that one? Sorry, James.
Anyway, do you have any opening thoughts to lead us off?
I do. This ties into the Patriots. So as you know, next week Tom Brady is coming back to Gillette for the first time since leaving to go play for Tampa Bay. I'm looking forward to the game. I'm looking very much forward to the game. But I am just dreading the buildup that we are going to hear on the radio and on TV and the news. And in the media, it is going to be insufferable. It's going to be worse than any Super Bowl hype that we've lived through.
It's already started.
You're right. It's already started. And it's only – they're playing the Saints this week, right? In case I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. Remember last week I asked you who the Patriots are playing this upcoming weekend, and we couldn't think of it? Yes, they're playing the Saints. But last weekend when we were talking about it, we couldn't remember. All that came to both of our minds was the Bucs, so that was week four.
It's going to be insufferable.
I turned the TV on this morning, and again, it's Saturday, so I turned it on. This is the Saturday before week three, Saturday, and it was on NBC Sports Net, and I want to say that it said the home of the coverage for the Brady return home. That was a commercial.
I wasn't really paying attention, but they
were talking about, you know, the Patriots. So I happened to look up, and I'm almost positive it said home of the return of Tom Brady, or the home of the return home, or something like that. I was like, don't even get me started.
Only been within the last month or two that Felger and Mass stopped talking about Brady going to Tampa.
I'm
not going to be able to turn on the radio. I'm just going to have to boycott all week long leading up to the game.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about it more when we get to the Patriots, but yeah, it is going to be insufferable. And not that I listen to the radio a ton anyway, but I probably will make sure that I don't listen to the radio this week. But on my end, I've got like six opening thoughts, but I'll try and keep them quick. The first one is, if you haven't checked it out yet, www.bostonsportssyndicate.com got a makeover. I don't think it's a drastic change, but it's a change no less. I think it's a little cleaner. It's definitely a little easier for us to maneuver on the back end. But looks-wise, it looks a little different, and if you haven't checked it out yet, I'm excited to hear what people think of it. That's one. Secondly, we didn't talk about it last week when the new episode came out, but that new intro, though,
very nice.
A-plus work by whoever did that.
You did a great job.
And there was something else. Oh, I always mention it at the end of the show, but I'm going to mention it this time at the beginning of the show. Don't forget to give us a follow over on Twitter at Boston Sports SYN, and newly created. If anybody listens to us and says, you know what, I could do that. I kind of want to be on that show. I kind of want to talk, or they have a question for us, or maybe they read some of our articles and say, I could do better. Newly created page, bostonsportssyndicate.com/contact. We'll give you a little thing, and you'll be able to type in a little message to us, and we'll be able to either answer your questions or get in contact with you if you're interested in writing or potentially guest spots or whatever it might be. There's a spot for you to be able to get in touch with us now. That's bostonsportssyndicate.com/contact. I just was thinking of it today. I said, you know, we always give it at the end of the show, and who's to say people listen all the way through? So let's give it at the beginning of the show.
So while we're giving plugs, let's mention the first Bleed Black and Gold standalone podcast on its own, out on its own, its own entity.
Yep, out on its own. Just search Bleed Black and Gold, but not the word "and." It's that little symbol.
It's called an ampersand.
I don't know. I don't know what it's called. It just looks like a non-finished eight or a funny eight. Bleed black and gold. Or you can find us on Twitter, or find them, them on Twitter, BBNG Podcast.
You guys did a great job as always, you and Waba and Big Country. Even if you're not a Bruins fan or a big hockey fan, which everybody knows I'm not a big hockey follower, but you guys are also very, very entertaining, and you bring a lot of hockey knowledge to the table. And we found out that Waba doesn't know our organizational chart here at the Syndicate.
Truly, yeah, that was a surprise to everybody. Spoiler alert, there will be a new episode out this week, Tuesday, possibly a live episode Monday night. Just as a little spoiler alert for those of you who enjoy hockey and Bruins talk. And okay, so now my actual opening thought. Those are like opening plugs. Let me give you my actual opening thought. The Ryder Cup is going on right now, and I've gotten into golf pretty heavily over the last, I don't know, 3 years, 4 years or so. I pretty much watch it every single weekend. You know, it's easy to just throw on and have it on in the background and just watch it and you know, do it. It actually has replaced baseball for me in that aspect, where I'll just put on golf. It doesn't really matter. European Tour, the Women's Tour, obviously the PGA, it doesn't really matter to me. And when it comes to like the Masters and the Majors and stuff like that, I'll pretty much watch every single hole, every single shot, every single coverage that there is. I even watch the Golf Channel sometimes during the week, just to catch up on some notes and stuff. But the Ryder Cup is going on right now, and it's the U.S. against Europe, as always, happens every 2 years, and it is the most entertaining thing in sports, in my opinion, right now, because this particular one is in the United States, so the crowds are, you know, hyped up and coming out of COVID, and, you know, the Europeans won the last one, and it has been incredible to watch. You see the golfers' personalities come out because they can, you know, hype up the crowd. It's not as, yes, everyone's still quiet during shots, but, you know, players are working in pairs, they're working in teams. You're playing against Europe, so you're seeing players that you don't normally see because they play on the European Tour, so you know that's not on the PGA Tour, so you don't always see these guys. It is awesome. Awesome. They play alternate shot. They play four ball. It is incredible and entertaining to watch. I don't know if you saw, there was a video that came out where before the sun, it's in Wisconsin, right? For this particular tournament, it's in Wisconsin. And before the sun even came out, it started yesterday. Before the sun even came out, the first tee bleachers were packed and people were singing Sweet Caroline, which brings me to another point. Why is Sweet Caroline like a United States, like, not anthem, but like a cheer song, like, you know how like Europeans song? You know how like Europeans and Canadians, they have ole 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 ole. Why is Sweet Caroline our American song to sing, like happy song?
I think it's because of the bop bop bop.
It's not real. That's not even real.
Spot for it.
That's not even real.
The but crowd it's been made the, real. It's the been crowd, made a thing.
The crowd interaction to that song is fake. It's not even real. There's no words there. It's not real.
Doesn't matter. It is now. It's a thing.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
But my only problem with Sweet Caroline is when they do it at Fenway and the Red Sox are losing by a ton of runs.
Yeah, like last night.
You know,
anyway.
It's not so good, so good.
Yeah. No, but it was...
But it's a pink hat thing.
I don't know, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, sun hadn't even come up yet, and it was already packed, and they're already singing. I know you're not a big golf guy. Have you watched any of it at all?
Not a second.
Oh, it's so good.
The only reason I knew it was going on because I saw something on Twitter. Some guy did some crazy shot out of a bunker. It was like a wall of grass in front of him.
Yeah, it was Jordan Spieth. He was on the hill, shot it straight up into the air. It was either Jordan Spieth or Justin Thomas. I don't remember. I think it was Jordan Spieth. And shot it, I don't know, 70 feet straight up. And the ball went about 6 yards total, but it landed 4 feet from the pin. It's awesome. You know, you see like the players, they do warm-up swings at the first tee, and the crowd is going – as they're doing their swing, they're in the backswing, they're going, whoa, and then they fall through like, whoa, whoa, as they're swinging. It's cool. It's cool to see because it's such a proper sport, and everyone's quiet, everyone's uptight, it's obviously very competitive, and it's an individual sport, but you're seeing, I don't know, you get to see the personalities of the players. Today, Brooks Koepka had a ruling that he had to call in an official for, and he's kind of a jerk, and he was a real jerk to the officials, and you could just see personalities, and you know, guys make a big shot and they're fist pumping and they're hyping up the crowd. It's cool to see, because you don't see that normally when you're watching golf. Normally it's all quiet at golf clubs.
Well, you mentioned it's replaced baseball as your sport to watch. If there's a sport that is more stodgy and stuck in its traditions that have been set down over time, it's golf.
Right.
So baseball's starting to break out of that. So it's good to see that golf is too.
Right. But here's the thing. Even when you watch football now, do you watch, like, let's say the Patriots are playing at 4 o'clock, the 1 o'clock time frame. If you sit down to watch football, are you putting on ABC or NBC or whatever it is to watch the Dolphins play whoever? Or are you putting on Red Zone because it's constant action?
Depends on the matchup. If there's a really good matchup at 1 o'clock, which there usually isn't, you know, if two top teams going against each other, then I'll watch that. But yeah, 90% of the time I'm watching Red Zone.
So golf is always like Red Zone, because there's a ton of downtime in golf. Obviously, guys walking to their shots and lining up and ready to play their next shots, but they just cut to somebody else who's about to shoot. So it's like this guy's shooting, then they watch the ball land, and then they talk about it for like 5 seconds, and then it moves on to the next guy's shooting. And it's not that you're not, you know, because there's, I mean, in for the Ryder Cup at the beginning, it's a little slow because there's only one match out on the course until they all get going. But it's golf is
it's a slow game, but marketable personalities. I mean, in golf, you had Tiger Woods for years, who was the guy, and you had Phil Mickelson and their rivalry, and then it was just a bunch of boring clones, one right after the other, that were pretty much the same guy, a couple here and there, but no big personality. But now it sounds like you're getting more of that involved in golf now. So, and plus with the coverage that they have, they can get right down there on the right there on the green or on the tee box and get right in these guys' faces.
Yeah, during the ruling, it's the two Americans are dropping F bombs to the officials. He's like, if I break my wrist, this is fucking on you. Like it was amazing. Like it's such cool coverage, and it's so cool to see, you know, personalities from players that you wouldn't normally, like, they do post interviews, but how much can you really do on that? Anyway, enough about the Ryder Cup. Let's talk about Boston sports. We're only going to talk about two teams today, because one, like I said, we have a bleed black and gold coming up. There's not too much on the Bruins anyway. Spring training. Ooh, training camp just started. Their first preseason game is actually tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon, 5 o'clock. Not even going to be aired on TV or the radio, so that's not worth it. And then the Celtics, not really much going on there. So Patriots and Red Sox, where do you want to go first?
Well, we already started talking about the Patriots. Let's go there.
Okay, we can do that. It's going to get me fired up, but let's do that.
Well, so, gee, that's always bad for a podcast.
Yeah, it's terrible for sports talk. So the Patriots are 1-1 right now. They, you know, obviously it's the beginning of the Mac Jones era here, and people are already pissing me off when it comes to Mac Jones, but for Tom Brady. For a different reason than Tom Brady.
Okay.
But I want you to give me your assessment thus far on Mac Jones through two games.
Well, I think the kid's looked really good. He's kind of looked as he was advertised. He's a smart player. He's an accurate quarterback, makes good throws, makes good decisions. Not a huge arm, but I think he's done really well in his first two games for a rookie quarterback making his first starts in the NFL, especially in that first game against the Dolphins when they brought a lot of pressure against him, and he stood right in there until the last second to get rid of the ball and took some good hits. So I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame yet. I'm not putting him on a level with any quarterback who has been in New England before. But I'm saying I am pleasantly surprised with what I've seen from him so far, and I think he's got a good future.
I agree. I think he's looked – I think he deserved to win the Dolphins game, first of all. I think that it was a – I think he handled that last drive pretty well. I know that they ran the ball. I know that they controlled the clock. I know that that's what they were doing in that last drive there. But I think he played really well in the Dolphins game. I think he stepped up in the pocket well. I think he moves well. I think he reads defenses well. He's a game manager. He's not a gunslinger. He's not going to be Russell Wilson. He's not going to be Kyler Murray. He's not a gunslinger. He's not a speed demon. He's a game manager.
Right.
He's a Tom Brady.
We thought he was coming in.
He's a Tom Brady-esque player. Not saying he's Tom Brady, but he's Tom Brady-esque. He's Peyton Manning-like. Like he's a game manager. That's you know, he's not not Brett Favre. He's not going to be anything like that. He's going to be a game manager. Everybody is complaining about Bill not opening the playbook up for him or Josh not opening the playbook up for him, about how he's just throwing checkdowns, about it's all about checkdowns. When are they going to air it out? This is unbelievable. Everybody's complaining. To which I say, isn't that what Brady did? Isn't that what Brady did for most of his career? Check down and quick slants and over the middle passes, and isn't that how he made his career? Isn't that what Brady does? Isn't that how Brady handles? You know, I understand he can throw the ball downfield, but I always joke and say, "Oh, Brady can't throw the ball over 20 yards down the field," because it's just that's what they did. That's what the Patriots do. It's dink and dunk, and it's check downs and tight ends and slants and slots and running backs, and I don't understand. I don't understand why when Brady's doing it, he's the greatest quarterback ever. And now Mac Jones is checking down, and it's Bill's fault or Josh's fault. I just don't understand it. I don't understand how why people are complaining now because it's happening to Mac Jones when they weren't complaining when Brady was doing it.
Brady, other than the couple of years that he played with Randy Moss, he never did throw it really, you know, huck it up downfield.
He's not great at throwing the ball downfield.
He wasn't great at throwing the ball downfield. And I mean, when he had Randy Moss, you could just throw it up there and let Randy Moss run underneath and catch it or out jump somebody and catch it.
Right.
Which was fine. That was the year he had 50 touchdown passes. You also had Gronk who could run deep and catch some balls that way. You really don't have anybody like that on your team right now. Jones had better talent around him at Alabama than he does right now with the Patriots.
100%.
Especially at the wide receiver position.
100%.
It's not easy for me to say. At the wide receiver position.
And at the running back position. He probably has better tight ends now. Probably had a better offense. Not that the Patriots' offensive line is bad, but he probably had a better offensive line at Alabama. But it's irritating to me that, like, now that Brady's gone, everything is Bill's fault or everything is the coach's fault. It's infuriating. Like that's the playbook. That's what they do. That's what the Patriots do. The Patriots know that they're not going to be able to take the top off, so they just dink and dunk. That's what they do. Brady's done it for years, and it was never a problem. Now Mac Jones is doing it, and all of a sudden it's a problem. Now Bill's not taking off the training wheels. What? And what's the other big knock on the reason why Brady wasn't successful in his last couple of years here throwing the ball downfield?
Other than he didn't have any receivers to throw to?
Wide receivers couldn't get open. What do you think, that's changed now all of a sudden? Are the wide receivers getting open? Is Mac Jones just not hitting the receivers deep? It's not like the plays aren't designed for him to throw the ball deep. They're just not open. He's making the smart play. He's checking down.
There have been, if you've read any of the analyses on the game, if you get Boston Sports Journal,
I do.
Greg Bedard goes into excruciating detail.
Yeah, he bores me.
On every single play, which I cannot read through his articles. I'm sure they're very informative, and they're very well done.
Even when he speaks.
I just don't have, you know, an hour to read one of his articles and break down every play. But, you know, based on his analysis, there have been some big plays that were open here and there, but for the most part, he has made the right decision on 75% of the plays where he's had, you know, to choose from either going deep or going short. He's made the right decision.
Then why are we complaining? We as a collective fan base. Like, do we just need something to complain about? Do we just need something to moan? It's been two freaking games, people. Like, relax, first of all. You played the Jets and the Dolphins. Like, give me a break. And I don't mean to write off the Dolphins like they're terrible, because I think that defense is actually pretty good, and I think their offense was pretty good too. And I think the Dolphins are a decent team. So the Jets, whatever. But I mean, they were supposed to be good, and with the new quarterback and blah blah blah. Which gets me to my next question. Through two games, because that's all that we have, would you take Zach Wilson over Mac Jones?
You got to question if Zach Wilson were on the Patriots, would he be playing this way? I mean, that's one thing I will give Belichick and McDaniels, as opposed to the Jets.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look at Sam Darnold. Are you kidding?
What was his name? Sanchez.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, Sanchez beat the Patriots with the Jets and with
Sanchez had a good first couple of years.
The foot guy.
But he
Rex Ryan.
Rex Ryan, the foot guy. Yeah. But he just never matured as a quarterback. He went backwards.
Well, that's probably part of being in the Jets organization.
Exactly. Exactly.
You look at Sam Darnold's 3-0 right now with the Panthers. Now Christian McCaffrey's out, so that could change. But he's 3-0 with the Panthers right now. He's won more games in 3 weeks than he won all last season for the Jets.
Right.
He went 2-10 last year with the Jets.
But I think all the quarterbacks that were taken ahead of Mac Jones are all more physically talented than he is.
Mac Jones or Trevor Lawrence right now? Who's played better?
Mac Jones has played the best out of all the rookie
quarterbacks. I'm not saying he's going to be better, but...
Let's keep this in mind. They talk a lot about rookie quarterbacks and how the records aren't that good, and 50% of them usually are taken in the first round and usually
teams.
A bust. They're taken by bad teams.
Yeah, exactly.
These teams are bad for a reason, or they get the number one pick for a reason because they're bad. That's why they're picking so high. Look at Joe Burrow with Cincinnati. He has a horrendous offensive line in front of him. He's getting killed every game. Mac Jones has the luxury of a good offensive line, a good team around him. Yeah, the Patriots dropped to 15 last year. Part of that reason was they need a quarterback. Had Mac Jones gone higher in the draft to a worse team, he probably wouldn't be doing as well as he is right now.
No, you're probably right. Which I mean,
so if you take Trevor Lawrence, put him on the Patriots, he's probably doing better than he is right now.
But people can't say that because that would give Bill the credit. Can't say that. You can't say
why
that.
Why is it giving Bill the credit?
Because you're saying that the coaching situation is helping the quarterback and the team situation is helping the quarterback. But I think the coach too. I mean, to me, it's the coaching too. Josh and Bill over Urban Meyer and whomever is the Jaguars' offensive coordinator. To me, is a better situation for anybody to be in. But it's just, I don't know. Like I think that the criticisms aren't even of Mac Jones. It's the criticisms of the way that the coaching staff is handling Mac Jones. And it's like, maybe we should relax because the kid has looked good and the kid has been impressive in a complex offense and he's made the right decisions and he's read
and
blitzes,
he showed some toughness
and
he showed some poise and some toughness.
So why are we complaining about anything? Why are we not?
Because they lost, are they not pretty much exactly
where you thought? If they win this week, aren't they pretty much exactly where you thought they'd be? 2-1 going into the Bucs game?
More or less.
Pretty much. I mean,
more or less.
I mean, to me, going into it, you could lose to the Dolphins, you could lose to the Saints. Now, if you're 1-2, I don't know, that's great.
Well,
but going into it,
if Zach Wilson didn't throw up all over himself for the Jets last week, maybe they would have lost that game. If Mac Jones did not win that game for the Patriots last week.
No,
when he got the ball, they were in good field position from all the interceptions that Zach Wilson threw.
The defense did, but I've read
the defense wasn't that great. The defense has been the biggest disappointment on this team so far.
The defense was good last week.
You had somebody like McCourty just standing back there playing center field, and Jones throwing him the ball.
No,
I mean,
no,
I don't think the defense did all that much.
Wilson.
I'm sorry, Wilson. What did I call him? Jones.
Jones. Yeah.
Jones. What's
the
difference?
You got it confused. Honestly,
they're all. Yeah.
You got it confused. One's a Mormon.
Really?
Didn't he go to BYU?
That doesn't mean. Oh yeah, I guess he. Yeah, I guess it does.
Didn't Zach
anyway,
go to BYU?
Doesn't matter. We don't talk religion on this.
Oh, that's true.
We don't talk religion. We don't talk politics.
That's a good point. Good point. Excellent point. My bad.
But it's not like Jones led them on any long sustained drives.
No, but
he was getting the ball around midfield, and then how many field goals did Nick Folk have?
Where have I heard this before?
How are the Red Sox? Oh, the Red Sox. I've got the Red Sox game on here while we're talking. How are the Patriots doing in the red zone?
Not great.
Not great, Bob.
Not great. Not great. That was the biggest problem in the Dolphins game is finishing drives. Honestly, the Jets game too.
Right.
Was finishing drives. But I mean, I've heard this before too that the defense and the kicking game has been superb and the quarterback play has been okay or pretty good. I've heard that before too. Like, I just think that relax on the criticisms, relax on the second guessing. There's a reason why you're calling into the Sports Hub and Bill Belichick is coaching the New England Patriots. Like, relax, please. Like, let's pump the brakes here. Let the kid do his thing. And it's a hard enough job to be a quarterback in the NFL. Never mind to replace Brady. Like,
replace Brady. We replaced Cam Newton.
No, okay. Would you? No.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I mean. Like, give me a break.
I'm not gonna say just because Belichick has, what does he have? 6 Super Bowl rings, 8 if you count the ones with the Giants. I'm not gonna say we can't question him that he's infallible.
I'm not going to say that either, because you can question a ton of things. But I also think that I wouldn't question playbooks and play calls and that kind of stuff from Josh or Bill after 2 weeks. You got to remember, I don't think they planned to have Mac Jones be the starting quarterback week one. I don't think that was the plan. I don't think that's what Josh thought was going to happen. So when you really think about it, they had, what, 10 days?
I think they had some idea.
I don't think so. They really don't.
Do you think when Cam Newton was released, that took Josh McDaniels by surprise?
A little bit. I'm not saying that he was shocked and stormed into Bill's office and said, "What are you doing?" But I think that, I mean, I think it was a little bit of a surprise that up until the COVID thing happened with Cam, it was Cam. Everything was Cam.
I think Cam was given the opportunity to win the job. He was given the appearance of having the job, but when they saw that he was not significantly better than what he was last year and that Jones could mentally handle the job, they just said, "All right, let's just go with it now."
I think
they made that decision long before Cam was cut, long before the COVID thing happened.
See, I don't think so, because if that's the case, then why, even after Cam came back for COVID, was he taking the first team snaps?
He would take the first team snaps, but he wasn't getting as many as Jones. He would get a couple of series. In practice, he would get a few reps, and then Jones would come in with the ones. They were giving Jones every opportunity to win that job, which he did.
No, and he deserves it. When we talked about that, last week. But let me ask you,
are they 1-1 right now if Cam Newton was still the quarterback?
Probably.
You think?
Probably. I think Cam Newton could win that Jets game. Probably. And I think, but I don't think that the Dolphins game is as close.
What did Jones have? Almost 300 yards passing in that game?
Yeah, Jones put them in position. I went to that game, and as soon as it ended, you and I texted each other, and I said, the kid deserved to win.
Yep.
The kid deserved to win. I mean, it was a tough scene for the, Stevenson? Who fumbled? I don't even remember.
Harris.
Oh, it was Harris. Was it Harris?
Ramondre Stevenson fumbled early in the game and didn't see the field for the rest.
That's right. It was Harris that fumbled towards the end of the game, the last drive. It was an unfortunate. I mean, they were playing for a field goal there, I think. I mean, they were in position. All they had to do was kill clock.
But that was a case of, they also had the Dolphins pin way back near the goal line with over 3 minutes left to go, and the defense couldn't stop them from getting a first down. So I don't pin that loss simply on Harris fumbling the ball.
See, yeah, but no. There was over 2 minutes. It was under 3 minutes left. Was it two?
No, there was over. There was three and change left at that point.
Yeah, but see,
I'm pretty sure.
I don't, because as the defense, you have to do your job and stop.
From getting a first down, and then they blew all their timeouts, and that was it. Game was over. They never got the ball back.
As a defense, you have to do your job, but also as a running back, you need to do your job and hold on to the ball.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? I think that's
saying. But
it's
not like he fumbled the ball and the Dolphins got it back with a minute left and just sat on it.
No, they had to get it first.
There was
two
time
first
left for the Patriots to get the ball back.
Correct.
And kick that field goal to win the game.
Correct, but I don't know that I would. I don't know that I would say that. Yes, the defense didn't do their job, but you're assuming a hell of a lot more by saying that the defense needed to stop them and they needed, because the Patriots would have had to go another 60, 65, 70 yards. Maybe not to get in a field goal, not to get in a field goal position.
They had time to do. I'm just saying the defense didn't do its job.
We
thought the defense was going to be a strong point of this team this year. They have not been to this point. So they have not been able to stop the run effectively.
Yeah, I think this game. This upcoming game
against the Saints, right?
Against the Saints. Playing the Saints?
Yeah. Alvin Kamara ought to run for about 150 yards tomorrow.
I think this is a big game for the team because I'm sorry, I don't think there's any way the Bucs lose, period. Never mind to the Patriots, but I guess that's a different story. But I mean, there's no way the Patriots beat the Bucs next week. So, I mean...
Never say never.
I mean, come on. Have you seen that team? Have you seen that Bucs team play?
How well have the Patriots done against the Ravens last year? How well did they do against Kansas City last year?
The Bucs are an all-time team.
See, this is where I have faith in Belichick. I think he will come up with something that will stifle the Bucs. I really think he will. I will be surprised if they run up and down the field on them.
As much as I dump on Brady, and I love to dump on Brady, there's nothing he hasn't seen. Like, I don't think there's anything that he hasn't played Belichick, so there's that. But I don't think that there's anything Belichick can come up with that will fool Brady.
Brady knows all the answers to the test.
Yeah, he does, and I think we've seen that over the last 4 years.
I think Belichick has been planning for this game all offseason.
I just do.
I think he'll come up with something. Maybe I'm being a fanboy on that. I don't know. But I hope he comes up with something.
I hope he does. Like, I would – nothing
– I just see the way he confuses, like, Mahomes. What he does to Mahomes forces him into making bad plays.
Mahomes –
that's a team that's loaded, and he's been able to effectively shut them down, at least for a half.
The thing about – the difference between Mahomes and Brady, Mahomes is light years more talented than Brady. Raw talent, way better.
But he doesn't have the experience.
Right. He doesn't have the game management skills. That's what makes Brady Brady, is the game management. It's not the throws and the but that team. Oh my goodness. I'm telling you, it's an all-time team. But nothing would be more, I don't know what the word is, poetic, more amazing, more awesome than if the Bucs run the table but have one loss and it's to the Patriots. Like if they go, what is it, 16-1 now? 15-1, whatever it is. And they win the Super Bowl. So they go 16-1. And then they win the Super Bowl, but that one loss is to Belichick.
That's really the only thing Brady has left to play for is the undefeated season.
And beating the Patriots. It's the only team he hasn't beaten.
Right. The only team he hasn't beaten in his NFL career.
Yeah, as it is. It is. Peyton Manning's done it, beating every team. Brady hasn't. What I'm saying is Peyton Manning's better.
Oh, you are?
No, I'm not.
Is that the definition?
No.
Brees probably beat every NFL team, too.
Did he beat
the
Saints?
Remember, he started his career with the Chargers.
Chargers, I know, but did he beat the Saints early?
I don't know. I don't. That would have been the one.
That's a good question.
I know. When a player like that plays for as long as they do, they have that longevity.
Yeah,
there's a good chance they will beat everybody by that point.
It's got to be.
Although when you only play teams in the other conference once every 4 years, you don't get as many cracks at them.
It's got to be like Favre and Manning and Brees. Those are the only three.
Yeah, because you need guys who both had longevity and played for more than one team.
Yeah. Brees, Favre, Manning. Brady will join it if he beats the Pats. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Montana could have done it.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, the first quarterback to lose to all 31 teams in the NFL. That's a more amazing stat to me.
He stayed in the league long enough to do it.
That's amazing.
Not too shabby.
That's amazing. Amazing. You would have to assume. Well, I guess not. That's more impressive because those are the teams that you don't play that often. That's impressive. I guess beating them all is impressive too. But losing to them all.
And you got to assume all those years. I mean, even just to play all the teams in the other division, you've got to stay around a long time because the way – I'm saying the other conference because you play them so rarely.
Well, you play them every four
– Once every four years.
Yeah, it's like you're – yeah, I mean, I guess. But then, you have to run the table. That's a good point. That's a good point. That's incredible. Lost to all 31 teams.
Is that a fact?
It's a fact. I just Googled how many quarterbacks have beat all NFL teams, and the first thing that pops up is Drew Brees, and then underneath it says Ryan Fitzpatrick is the only quarterback to lose to all NFL teams. Wow. I mean, I don't.
And he's still a starting quarterback in the NFL.
He is. I know we're jumping ahead, but I don't see how the Bucs lose to the Patriots. I really, really don't. But that's a different. That we can talk about that next week. I mean, overall, I would say, like I said, I think the Patriots are pretty much exactly where we pretty much thought they'd be. I don't think
except for the defense. I thought the defense would be better, especially against the run, and they have not been good against the run.
I mean, how much of that is Gilmore missing?
Maybe
against
not the run. You should be stuffing the run. That makes your pass defense worse if you can't stop the run, because now you got guys cheating up from the secondary and your linebackers. I mean, you shouldn't see a safety tackling a running back. That should not happen. And it's been happening a lot on this team. So they need to tighten that up.
I can see it against the Dolphins, because I think that the Gaskin's a pretty good running back. But the Jets, though?
But the Patriots beefed up on the defensive line in
the
offseason.
They did.
And they brought in somebody like a Judon to seal the edge. And it looks like the same team as last year.
You don't do you give the new guys any leeway? Like, we give leeway to the new quarterback? Do you give it to the new
defensive players? Not on defense, because it's pretty much hold your ground and fill your gaps. And they haven't been doing that. Defense, you've got to learn the play. You've got to learn the different all options for audibles. But defense, it's pretty much just stand there and don't get pushed around.
Especially on the line. I mean, there's different plays on the line too with
I'm sure, you know, there are stunts,
lineman and swims,
like,
and stunts and whatnot. Right. So, but I guess I think, are there any? So you think the defense is underperforming? Is anybody overperformed in your opinion? Anybody surprised you?
Not especially.
Yeah, it just feels it does feel like that the whole team as a whole is that they're just kind of like a meh team.
Yeah.
Like a meh, like nothing really, like no superstar, no bright spot. No, it's just like, but they're all just
other
like
than Jones. Jones is a bright spot.
Yeah, but I don't know if I would consider him.
Say he's a superstar, but he's been a bright spot, especially with what you saw at quarterback play last year.
True. In comparison, sure, but I mean, like around the league, like you don't like. I'm not watching the Patriots. Like, oh, I need to see what Mac Jones does. Like you watch like the Cardinals. Watching Kyler Murray is mesmerizing. You watch like, I guess, would you consider him a superstar though? Maybe he is a superstar.
Not yet.
So I mean, you know, you watch the Bengals. You have to watch what Joe Burrow does. Even the Jaguars, you have to see what Trevor Lawrence does. I mean, you watch the Patriots, you're like, nah, just like a team of average Joes. Above average Joes, I guess.
Which
by NFL
is what they've really been this whole thing. I mean, what
minus
huge
Tom Brady.
Superstars other than Brady and Gronk did they have over the past 20 years?
Moss.
Okay. A few years with Moss. Would you say Edelman was a superstar? Would you say Welker was a superstar?
No, but I would say that Edelman was a bright spot. He was something to watch. It's not like it just feels like the receivers to me are just like, the running backs, quarterback.
You know, another disappointment, speaking of receivers, has been the tight ends.
Yeah.
A couple catches here and there. Again, a lot better than what you got last year out of the tight ends, which was virtually nothing. But have they been what we expected them to be?
No.
Or
not
is that
so far.
Just a part of this offense just needs to get the reps together
and
figure things out?
I would say that probably is part of it. And I think
probably make a better assessment sometime after the Bucs game, maybe a couple of weeks after that, is a better time to assess the
halfway point
and see where they are.
The halfway point. Two games to me is too early to tell on pretty much anything. I mean, you can tell me the defense as a whole has been underwhelming. They don't have their best player, which I think does. I mean, arguably the best player on the team isn't there, and that does, I think, play a factor into it. And I think it's, if nothing
NFL
else,
defensive
it's a,
player of the year 2 years ago.
If nothing else, it's a voice. So I think that definitely plays into it. I think, and that's. I don't know. I think that's something, but 2 weeks is way too early. Like let's rehash this conversation at the 8-game mark. 7-game.
Oh, 8's too much.
No, it's halfway.
Eight's too much. Now they should have it figured out after 4 or 5 weeks.
I think to me
halfway. It's too late. Season's half over. If you're
not in this division,
2-6 or worse at that point.
If you're 2-6, you're done. But I mean, in this division, in this, I'd argue conference. You might be able to squeak in at 500, under 500. Not the division,
maybe.
But the conference.
Well, there have been some teams that have gotten off the bat. I mean, Buffalo's 1-1.
Whole
What's Tennessee right now? 1-1 or
1-1-2? They lost 1 week. They lost
so,
the first
yeah,
week.
So some other teams have gotten off
Steelers,
the slow start.
Steelers
too.
Haven't looked good.
Right.
The Ravens beat
the
Chiefs.
Steelers beat Buffalo the first week and then laid an egg against the Raiders.
Yeah.
Was it the Raiders they lost to?
The Steelers' defense looked good against the Bills, but the Bills didn't look good. And then the Ravens beat the Chiefs. So I can't think of any like really good all well-rounded team that's shown up for the first 2 weeks in the AFC. Maybe the Ravens. Did they even win Week One? I don't even know. But either way, anyway. Yeah, I think it's too early to make broad judgments, and I think it's too early to criticize Jones or McDaniels or Belichick and their handlement of Jones. Like let's give it a few things. But I also think that Week Four is a huge dark cloud over this team. Like I think that they just need to get through Week Four. Like to me,
you think it's a dark cloud because there's no expectations.
It's just the circus, and it's just the.
It is going to be a circus.
I don't know. I think it just reminds me of like, you know, there's that big game that you have that's always circled on the schedule, and this is circled six times and highlighted, and you know.
And the team usually gets up for that game.
Maybe, but I just
Kansas City, Baltimore. You've seen it over the last couple of years. They play well in those games, and then they always drop a turd against somebody that they should blow out of the stadium.
Not like this. I don't think the stakes are
infinitely higher in this game than they have been in the past.
Can you think of a single regular season game that has had so much anticipation in any of the sports?
No.
Any sport. No. Like it'll probably never. There's probably no game in the history of Boston sports that has had regular season game that has had more anticipation, build up, circus like effect, dark cloud, whatever you want to call it, than this game.
Especially the nature of football being only 16, now 17 games a season. It's not like when Bobby Orr left the Bruins, and he was only with the Bruins for 10 years or something like that. It wasn't like he was with the Bruins for 20 years, but I'm just trying to think of a superstar player
Clemens?
Who left the Boston team and then came back.
Clemens?
Yeah, but Clemens might have pitched against the Red Sox three or four times that year. Damon, no, you can't put Damon in that category.
No, but I'm just thinking.
I'm thinking of players who came in and just transformed the franchise. The Red Sox were a great franchise before Clemens got there. Well, I'm talking about Bobby Orr put the Bruins on the map. He won a championship there after not winning a championship for 40 years, and then he left to go to the Blackhawks. And that was a little bit before my time. I don't remember him coming back if he actually even played against the Bruins because he had a very short career after he left and went to the Blackhawks. I can't think of anything that matches the magnitude of somebody like Brady coming back.
Yeah, there can't be.
Yeah, you're right. There hasn't been, and I don't think
there ever will be.
There ever will be.
Because the other part of it, and you're right, the other part of it is you think about like hockey players. They'll play against that. They'll play. I mean, the fact that it's in New England too just magnifies it even more. If this game was in Tampa, yeah, it's a big game, but it's not nearly as big. Like it's the first time he's played against the Patriots. And it's at Gillette. Like, give me a break. Like that there's nothing like it. But when you come like hockey players, they'll play every single year. They'll play a home game and away game. They'll play against that team twice a year. Baseball players, they could play that team, six times a year if they're in the same in the same division. Forget it. They'll play 100 times a year.
How do you think the crowd is? I mean, obviously they're gonna go nuts in the beginning for Brady and for Gronk. But if it comes down to late in the third quarter, fourth quarter,
and it's a game,
and not even if it's a game, if Brady's still, you know, Brady's not going to come out even if it's a blowout. He is not coming out of that game. If he throws a touchdown pass to Gronk midway through the fourth quarter, do you think the fans will still be cheering for him?
If it's a blowout, yes. If it's a blowout, yeah.
If it's a close game?
If it's a close game, like let's say hypothetically the Patriots are up 24 to – I don't think they're going to score 24 points. So it's hypothetically somehow the Patriots defense contains the offense and it's 10-6. And Tampa Bay scores to go up 13-10. They shouldn't cheer for him in that case.
Do you think there's ever a point where the fans will stop seeing it as Brady and just seeing the uniform and it's a different team and then react that way?
No, I don't. Because here's the thing. Because I think there's too many Brady fans. To me, there's like I feel like I know a lot of Patriots fans, and I feel like more of them are Brady fans than Patriots fans. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
like, to me, I mean, I don't particularly care for the guy, never have. So, like, to me, it's dead to me. I don't care. He doesn't play for the Patriots anymore. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. And shouldn't that be how it is? Like, shouldn't that be the way that it – shouldn't that be the way that if you're a Patriots fan, shouldn't you be pissed?
Well, I was pissed from the start, but a lot of people were like, oh, no, it's Brady. He can do whatever he wants.
Exactly. There's more Brady fans.
Let's just remember the memories of what he gave us.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I think there are more of those people than the people like us who are pissed.
Yeah, definitely. Let's remember the memories of the fact that we had a replacement for him, a suitable replacement for him, but then he decided he was going to be a baby and then play for 10 more years and then cry because his backup was here pushing at him, nipping at his heels. So then he makes the Patriots get rid of him and then leaves them with nothing and then just leaves town. Let's just all forget it. Let's forget that, right? Because he won championships. We'll forget that. We'll forget that he screwed over the franchise. We'll just forget that. I think there's too many Brady fans. There's not enough... They're not Patriots fans. They're Brady fans. So, no, there won't be.
And by rights, Brady made the Patriots what they were for the 20 years he was there. He won 6 championships, brought them to 9 Super Bowls.
Doesn't play anymore. Let's move on. Doesn't play anymore.
No, I agree with you. It's time to move on. That's why I don't want to listen to all the hype and the buildup that's going to come next week because he's moved on. We should, too.
Yeah.
It's been a year and a half that he's been gone. He's not coming back, people.
He's won a Super Bowl somewhere else.
Yeah.
He's already had a child with somebody else. Like, let's move on. Like, what are we doing?
Your girlfriend left, married somebody else.
Yeah, what are we doing here? Like, come on. Give me a break. Last point about the Patriots I want to talk about.
Okay.
Which is Brady-related, of course, because we're 2 weeks out, and obviously stuff's already started to happen. And that stupid jerk face, Guerrero... coming out with comments about Belichick 2 weeks before they come here about how they disrespected Tom and wah, wouldn't let me in the locker room. What's your thoughts on that whole situation?
Who cares? Again, it's ancient history. It was 2 years ago.
Isn't it just amazing that it just drives me nuts that people do this and they'll hold on to information and they just can't help them. Not even holding on to information. They just can't help themselves to poke and prod. It just shouldn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. Guerrero. Alex, nothing Guerrero you say matters. Matter. Period. Who are you? What are you even doing?
And why are you bringing it up now? Exactly. What are you trying to do? You're trying to create a distraction for the team? That's not going to work.
No, he's just looking for he knows that he has a cheat. You know what the problem is? Why are people even interviewing Guerrero? Why is Guerrero taking questions?
Why are people interviewing Brady's father?
Yeah,
Brady's father had some things to chirp in about this. You know what? Stay in California. We don't need to hear from you here.
I don't
care what you have to say. I don't care what your son has to say. Just go away. We're done with you. It's time to move on.
But again, why are people even asking Alex Guerrero about Tom Brady's relationship with Bill? Like,
why are Felger and Mass still talking about the whole situation a year and a half in?
For listens.
So obviously people care about it.
Highest rated show in the city. Highest rated show in the city.
Obviously people care about it. Because they wouldn't be talking about it if people weren't calling in on it.
Yeah, I just think...
Number one.
You all...
But why? The question is, why are people still caring?
Don't know.
I mean, the wounds are that deep that Brady left. And I think people are looking for anybody that they can blame, and they don't want to blame Tom.
No, can't.
So they've got to look, and they don't want to blame Bill either, because in Bill we trust. So who are we gonna blame? Because in this society, somebody's got to be responsible. Somebody's got to take the blame. So who is it gonna be?
They're all Tony Romo. Ooh, I don't know. Yeah, stupid. The whole thing's stupid. It's just going to get worse, and I cannot wait for next week's game to be over. Can't wait. Cannot wait. Let's move on to the Red Sox.
So if our listeners don't want to hear all that, too, just check out one of our old podcasts. They're still great. They're still entertaining. The information may be a little dated, but it's better than listening to all that crap that's going to be coming out next week.
Truly. Or just listen to all the old Bleed Black and Gold episodes that are transferred over to their own thing is that we need to catch up on some of the plays, just in case. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And to be fair, even when Brady was here, we didn't exactly talk that much about Brady. It was just me bashing him, basically.
When Brady was here, I was pretty much saying he's done, so
yeah,
I was wrong.
Yeah, nailed that one.
Hey, called it as I seed it.
Speaking of done, let's talk about the Red Sox.
They're not done.
Well,
they're done wearing the yellow uniforms, though. Woohoo!
Are they?
Yeah, I don't have the regular. They're wearing the red jerseys today.
Well, did they wear them until they lost? Did they go on a little streak there?
Or
did
they lose? They lose in the midst of it. 7 in a row.
They're 7-3 in their last 10. I saw that.
Yeah, they won 7 in a row wearing the yellow jerseys, and then Friday night didn't go so well against the Yankees. So they went back to the red jerseys today.
I mean, that's a cute little thing that they did wearing.
Yeah, but again, that was taking on a life of itself too, with people, you know, oh, the yellow jerseys, they got to keep wearing them. They petitioned the major leagues. Major League Baseball, that they could wear them on the road, that they could wear them in the playoffs. Excuse me, you got to get to the playoffs first before you start worrying about what uniform you're going to wear.
Well, there's my opening question. Are they going to make the playoffs?
I think so.
At this point, I think so. What do they have, five games after today?
Seven games after today. One more with the Yankees. We're recording this on Saturday.
Yep.
So they have a Sunday night game with the Yankees,
yep.
And then they have 3 against the Orioles, and then 3 against the Nationals. 2 teams that cannot wait for this season to be over.
2 teams that they should beat. They should They should sleep through 5-1 in those 6 games.
The Yankees, after they leave Boston, play the Blue Jays, and then they finish the season with the Rays.
That's tough. And they have to play the Blue Jays, who are chasing you. So the two teams chasing you have to play each other. So
you hope nobody sweeps that series. They go 2-3.
Yeah.
One way or the other. If you're beating up on the Orioles, which you should, 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
If you're beating up on the Orioles like you should be, you should be able to grab one of the 2 spots, never mind the top spot. The top spot they're holding on to by the skin of their teeth right now.
One game.
One game going into this one today on Saturday.
I mean, does it matter, though? Does it matter?
Well, you want to get the home game. Ideally, you want the home game. You want to play in front of your own crowd.
Yeah, but does that game really matter? Well,
I wrote an article for the website this morning.
That's what I was doing.
If your starting pitcher comes out and craps the bed, it doesn't matter where you're playing, doesn't matter what uniform you're wearing, you're only as good as that day's starting pitcher. That's an old saying in baseball, and we saw on Friday night that is extremely true. Your best pitcher going, Eovaldi. You had your best pitcher going, and he just didn't have it last night. I'm not putting this on him. He didn't have it last night. The guy's been nails all season. Should have a much better record than 10-9. But he just didn't have it Friday night. And that's what can happen in the play-in game. That's why I've always been against the play-in game. Baseball is, so much hinges on that starting pitcher. It's not a true test of who is the better team. Yeah, it's good for ratings. And if it's not your team in it, you watch it. And yeah, it's exciting. But I just don't like that playing game.
See, I like the playing game. I like it. I think it's entertaining. I think it actually gives an advantage to the teams that win the divisions. I like it. I think it's
The teams that win the division should get an advantage. But I just don't like a play-in. I'd rather see a best 2 out of 3 series.
That's too much
than a play-in.
That's too much of an advantage though for
me. No, because you could play a doubleheader. And then if you don't sweep the doubleheader, then you have the next game. So it's not like the team who wins the division and gets the bye has to take 4 or 5 days off. Make them play a two out of three series and then go straight, no days off. What are you talking about?
Nope. So if I'm not talking about the games played or the time off, I'm talking about the fact that the teams that are playing in the play-in games hypothetically will use their best pitcher in that game. So then for game one, or for the winning team, it's then ace for the team that wins the division against a number 2 starter, maybe a number 3, depending on how it lines up. If you play 3 games, now you're 8. Now that team that wins that play-in series.
Yeah, you're pitching a shot.
Now you're pitching a shot, and that right. I think is too much. But a play-in game itself, I think is – but yes, it's a lot riding on one game, but you know what? Win your division. Win your division, which you probably should have done anyway. So, you know, it's like I don't feel bad for the Red Sox if they get eliminated in a play-in game because it's a play-in game. I feel bad for the Red Sox I blame the Red Sox for choking away the division that they had a good handle on for 2 months of the season.
They had a good handle on for 4 months of the season.
Okay, well, then that's even worse. So for choking away the division, you know what? I don't feel bad for you that you have to play the game.
I'm one who always says it is what it is, and the rules are the rules. Those are the rules. So I agree with you. Win the division. You're right.
Yeah,
this isn't a new thing for me. I've been against the playing game since they instituted it.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's entertaining. I think it's good for the game. I think it'll I mean, imagine a play-in game between the Red Sox and Yankees. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah, I actually saw one back in 1978. Okay. I don't want to relive that.
Well, that's
it wasn't a play-in game. It was
the play for the division.
It
right?
was game 163. They ended up in a tie, and they had to play a single game to determine who was going to win the division.
That's even crazier to me that they do that. That's way dumber, more dumb than a play-in game. To me,
why
to have to play one more game to decide the division? Can't just do like a head-to-head record or a run differential or something like that to decide you're going to make them go out there and play a 163rd game?
That was back before they had even the divisional series.
So that decided who got into the playoffs.
Right.
Oh well, that's different. They still do it today.
That was back before the wild card. That was when you only had two divisions. You had the American League Championship Series, and then you went to the World Series.
They still do that today, don't they? Didn't someone
They do.
Oh no.
For the wild card.
Yeah, two teams tied for the wild card.
If teams tie for the wild card, right?
Yep. But I don't. I mean, what do they do in a and if they tie for the division, they play it. They play.
I think then they go by head to head.
Oh good. Well, that's smart.
Head to head or runs differential or something like that.
Play the game.
It happened with the Red Sox not too long ago. They ended up in a tie with the Yankees, and the Red Sox got the wild card, if I recall correctly.
By tiebreaker?
It wasn't that long ago. Yeah. The Yankees got the division, and the Red Sox got the tiebreaker.
That wouldn't make sense.
Yankees won the division. The Red Sox got the wild card.
So the Yankees won the tiebreaker.
Right.
So it had to be head-to-head or something. But I do remember, I forget who it was, but they had to play a play-in game before they played the wild card game. And then you saw the pitching, and that was the big thing then. The pitching was all screwed up and blah, blah,
right.
blah.
Whatever. Was that Milwaukee a couple years ago?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, because Felger was complaining about it. Yes, bingo.
Okay.
Play the scenario out. Red Sox, Yankees. You think Garrett Cole is going to pitch in that game? Don't love that right off the bat. Yankees are arguably top three hottest teams in baseball over the last month and a half. Don't love that, number two. Number three, so Valdi pitch that game now?
I think it's going to depend on how much the Red Sox, how soon they can clinch a spot.
How do you?
Because if you have to use Sale in that last weekend against Baltimore, then you may not have the luxury of him starting.
Right now,
it's lined up that Eovaldi would pitch that game.
How do you roll out Eovaldi after he just got pooped on last night?
Well, again,
how do you roll him?
He didn't have good command of his sinker splitter last night. He couldn't throw his breaking balls for strikes. So basically, they just teed off on his fastball.
How do you roll him back? You can't assume.
You have to. That's the nature of baseball. Who would you rather send Erod out there? Pavetta was dealing today.
Well, here's the thing.
But do you think he'd be able to replicate that again in a week and a half?
You're not putting. You have to put either Eovaldi, Erod,
or Sale.
Sale hasn't pitched against anybody this year.
You know, and this isn't like when you could throw somebody like a Schilling out there who was going to give you eight innings. These guys are going to give you, especially in a playoff situation, you'd be lucky to get through five, maybe six. These guys, and then you're into your bullpen.
Yeah, then you're screwing up your bullpen for the series should you win, and you have to play for the win, obviously, because you win or go home.
Houken at that point, or if Whitlock is back by then. Do you bring somebody like that in for a couple of innings?
Well, you could use a Pavetta. You could have Eovaldi start and then use Pavetta if he pitched well today. And you know, and it is the Yankees, then you could use him for two innings. I think if it's Sale,
it's going to be all hands on deck no matter what.
Yeah, but I think if it's Sale, don't you see him giving you six or seven because it's Sale and you just know?
Has Sale even gotten through six since he's
come
back?
But to me, he gives me the big game type feel. Remember, was it?
Chris Sale is not what Chris Sale was 3 years ago.
We don't talk bad about Chris Sale on the show ever.
I'm not talking bad about him. I'm just being realistic. He is not the pitcher that he was 3 or 4 years ago. He's still recovering from Tommy John.
He's still your best pitcher.
He may be, but he is not what he used to be. He's your best pitcher. What are you comparing him to? Erod, who had a very bad year, off year for him, an inconsistent year. Or Eovaldi, who's been your ace all year and just had one bad game.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I wheel him back out there. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
You're not in a good spot, is what I'm saying. You're not in a good spot.
Sale may be your best choice, but don't expect he's going to be out there throwing 97, 98. He's not that guy right now. I don't know if he ever will be again.
I think he's got it deep in there. He's just holding back.
He can hump it up every now and then if he needs it, but he's not going to go. He's not going to be consistently sitting at 97.
To be fair, also, he's pitched well. Pretty well since he's come back, but he hasn't really faced anybody. And the one time he faced somebody, didn't he face the Blue Jays? And it was like the most bananas game of the season. It was whatever, and he gave up a million runs. Not necessarily his fault, ish. Defense.
No, Verdugo loses a fly ball in the sun, and it turns into an inside the park grand slam.
Right. So
was that the ball off the wall that he butchered? I get confused.
No, there was a pop up that he lost and threw away, or I don't remember. I don't remember exactly. But either way, you're not in a good spot. You're not in a good spot at all right now.
Sale's also given up a lot of home runs since he came back.
He's not getting the ball down.
Right. So, yeah.
You're not in a good spot.
I mean, and
your pitching is going to let you. Your offense might be okay, but your offense isn't going to light up Gerrit Cole.
This offense gets shut down by good pitching. Cole shut them down.
That's what I'm
Friday
saying.
Night.
That's what I'm saying. You're not gonna beat a Gerrit Cole. And Toronto's offense is better than yours. So you and Toronto are basically the same team. Their pitching might be a little bit better, and their offense is better, but they're essentially the same team. The Red Sox are in a terrible spot. Let me tell you this. I'll tell you this for free. For work, I can't give too many details, but for work, there was a company that's going to be putting a sign for their offices. It's going to be just over the monster, right next to the Citgo sign, close to the Citgo sign. So when they pan out and you see the Citgo sign, you'll also see this company's headquarters are going right there, and you'll see their sign for their company that's going to go on top of their building. Remember, we were talking about this last week. They were supposed to put it up for when the Red Sox for the playoffs. That's the conversation that I had with their rep was we wanted to get the sign up for the Red Sox playoff push. It's supposed to go up Monday because that's for the playoff push and the playoffs. They pushed it back.
So they don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
They are not as high on the Red Sox making the playoffs as they were a month and a half ago. I'll tell you that.
How far did they push it back?
For the Boston Marathon.
Oh, okay, which is Columbus Day weekend.
Which is 2 weeks, but still, it's just so the target was for the Red Sox to be in the playoffs. This was a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months ago. At the time,
why push it back though? Crane rates cheaper in October than they are in September?
No, because they wanted to get it up for the playoffs, so that when they have the national broadcasted games, you'd be able to see it. But now they're like, wait a second, they might not actually get there, so we're gonna do it because they want like an unveiling, you know what I mean? Like they want it to be like a thing,
grand stage.
Yeah, so now,
yeah, because nobody's gonna see it for the marathon, other than the hundreds of thousands of people that are in to watch it. But
you're not gonna have the marathon,
a national broadcast.
The marathon gets broadcasted.
Yeah, but how many people watch the marathon?
More than
it
you
gets
think.
Broadcast on local TV. Does it get broadcast nationally?
I'm sure.
Was it like on ESPN Ocho or something like that?
It's like the second biggest. The second biggest professional race in the world.
Yeah, what kind of ratings does it get on national TV?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But I do.
I mean, talk about watching
it is big.
Dry, watching a marathon,
but
please.
It is big. Yeah. It's huge.
Soccer's big, too. It doesn't mean we watch it here in America.
I watch it.
You're getting old. Watching golf, watching soccer.
I know. It's so bad. So bad. I think the Red Sox are in a really bad spot. Even if they hold on to the wild card spot, they're just not in a good spot to go forward. And I think that their postseason stay, I think they're going to get in. Where I think a couple weeks ago when we met, I said, I don't know if they're even going to get in at this point. I think they're going to get in.
They're going to get in because they're going to be playing bad teams over the last week. And how many times are we going to get sucked in by them beating the Orioles or beating the Mets or the bad teams? It happens all the time, and then they play a good team, and they lay an egg. So guess what? You're not going to play teams like the Orioles in the playoffs.
There should be zero expectation for this team to do anything. Even if they win the play-in game, I'm still
then
not.
Then they play the Rays.
Yeah. How do you think that's going to go?
You know, the Rays really – who do the Rays have for a superstar? Who's their stud pitcher? They could easily go south.
I don't think so. Yeah, sure, they could. I don't even know who their stud pitcher. I don't think they have.
It
a
was
stud
Tyler
pitcher.
Glasnow, but yeah, he's out. Is out for the season.
I don't know. I don't know if they don't have one.
They have like 20 something guys that they just like on a taxi squad, and they activate them after the game. They send the guy back down. It's amazing what they're doing down there. Yeah, who's their star player? Kiermaier?
No.
Nelson Cruz?
No. Austin Meadows, Wander Franco. Yeah.
Are any of these household names? They don't have Mike Trout or somebody like that of that magnitude.
No.
They're just a good, solid team.
Yeah, they've got. I would say.
You know what the Red Sox should do? They should pill get their for GM. Somebody from their front office
yeah,
to right. come here and create a similar model.
Mm. Yeah, that worked out. That worked out real well.
Especially at the trade deadline.
Yeah, huge. Rays made a better – I don't want to say that. The Schwarber thing, Schwarber's played well now that he's played.
Not defensively.
No, he's putrid. But, you know, I mean, when you go get a guy who's a DH and you already have a DH and neither one can really play the field, I guess you got to take what you can get. But at the plate, he's been unbelievable after he missed 3 weeks after the trade deadline. But Nelson Cruz has also been very good for the Rays, coming over at the trade deadline. He didn't miss 3 weeks with a hamstring issue. So there's that. But I just
and that was the difference because the Red Sox were in first place at the trade deadline
and did nothing, essentially.
Well, no, they brought in Schwarber, but he couldn't play for 3 weeks.
Yep, nothing.
By the time Schwarber got on the field,
yep, not great.
They had lost first place.
Not great. Not great. They did not handle this trade deadline well. But yeah, we're playing for the future. We've got a lot of this farm system though. Whew. Whew.
Tristan Cassis got brought up to Worcester.
Yeah,
made his AAA debut. Hit a home run in his first game. He is the guy. You know what's surprising me about him? I heard a lot about him. I wasn't like. Well, he is. He's all legs too. He's a big kid. But I had heard a lot about him in Portland. I knew he was doing really, really well. But then. After he came back, he was on the Olympic team. When he came back, he hit a couple of home runs, and I was like, that's his ninth home run of the season. And I was like, ninth? I thought this guy was hitting bombs all over the place. He had like a dozen home runs at Double A this year.
Yeah, but
I thought he was a power hitter.
I think he
more of a power hitter.
Yeah, he is a power. He's huge. I didn't realize how big he was until I saw. I didn't watch the Olympics, but I watched the. I saw the home run that he hit opposite field, hit it like 400 feet opposite field.
Yeah, he had three home runs in the Olympics.
I know he played well in the Olympics, but I didn't watch it. So like I never watched I didn't even watch highlights or anything. I just saw box scores, and I'd never realized how big he is. I saw it for the first time when he hit that opposite field home run off of some pitcher that's supposedly really good. I don't know, but yeah, he's big. He's a big boy. How about this? Don't even know what position he plays. First base, hopefully.
First base.
Okay, good. Finally. At least I got that right.
Then what do you do with Dahlbeck?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Trade him.
All of a sudden, can't trade him. He's turned into a major league.
Can't trade anybody.
A major league first baseman.
Can't trade anybody.
Keep his trade both. Value. Well, Cassis won't be ready to start the year. He's going to need
Keep
some
both.
Seasoning down at AAA.
One's a lefty. One hits left. One hits righties. One hits lefties.
Platoon him.
Yeah. Bingo. Just like Hunter Renfro.
There you go.
That was the plan. Because that works.
Well, that doesn't work in today's baseball because if you have somebody on that, you got to have flexibility. You can't platoon at one position. You got to have a guy like Kike or Marwin Gonzalez that can play five different positions on the field. None of them very well,
but they can
play five different positions on the field.
The Marwin Gonzalez experience, that worked out too, huh? A lot of good moves. A lot of good moves by Mr. Bloom in his first year. A lot of good decisions.
The bloom is off the rose.
That's a good one.
You should put that on a T-shirt. Yeah, James.
James.
James, get on it.
Yeah, James, do it. Anything else you want to talk about on the Red Sox, or are we pretty much good there?
I think we're pretty much good there.
Not bad. We kept keep it close to an hour, only doing two teams. Maybe that's the new model.
We're good at new models.
Yeah, every week we need a new direction.
Like Indiana Jones said in Raiders of the Lost Ark. I don't know. I'm making this up as I go.
Was it Bessie's article? The week two, get them in, get them out. This hiatus thing, we're getting pretty good at it, or something like that.
Yeah,
classic. All right, yeah, that's all I've got. You got anything else? outside of Celtics and I mean Red Sox and Patriots?
I got nothing.
Watch the Ryder Cup. Give it an hour tomorrow.
No thanks.
Tomorrow's all head to head.
I'm too old to watch golf.
It's all head to head. Don't watch the Stars because it'll be slow. But once there's
I'm going to be watching football tomorrow.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point. That's a good point. I got tea time tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock.
And if it's a nice day, I won't even be inside.
Should be back in time to watch football.
Because there aren't that many nice days left, so I want to get them while I can.
True. Good point. Excellent point. It's supposed to rain. It's supposed to be crappy out, but neither here nor there, I guess. So that's everything we've got. I guess. We're done here. I'm going by.
We're done here.
I'm out. See ya. Just kidding. Make sure you check out our new website, www.bostonsportssyndicate.com. Check us out on Twitter at BostonSportsSYN. If you're heading out to an event, if you want to pay for the extremely overpriced Bucks-Patriots games, you can save yourself some money by using code BSS at SeatGeek.com. That'll save yourself $20 off a purchase of $50 or more. And if you want to help out your manhood, you can head to manscaped.com and use code BSS to save 20% off your order and get free shipping across the United States. Your balls will
thank you.
And don't forget to check out our Bleed Black and Gold podcast presented by Boston Sports Syndicate. And I think that's pretty much everything, right? Did I miss anything?
I think you got it all.
Got it all. Basically a professional at this point. So, Bill, thank you for taking the time to talk a little sports with me here. And
always a pleasure.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Boston Sports.
Get the Duck Boats ready! Get the Duck Boats ready! After 39 long years, the Cup is back home! The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions!
Our f***ing city.